Over 30 years of advice for your house, home, castle, or cabin.
Y'all have things you want to get done.
It's Rosie on the House.
On an absolutely beautiful Saturday morning, broadcasting from the Ortega parking lot of the city of Wickenburg. Is it a burg or is it a city? Well, we're here. We're in Wickenburg. And we're celebrating the 200th birthday of the city's namesake, Henry Wickenburg. They've got festivities going on all weekend long. Started with a big dinner at the Vulture City Ghost Town Mine last night. They're going to have bands tonight, dinner and dancing. They've got kids' activities. They're doing a presentation of the key of the city to one of Henry Wickenburg's living descendants, who has come all the way from Essen, Germany, to receive the key. So they're having a good time. We're having a good time. We're here to celebrate it. And we thought, what should a home improvement show talk about when we're celebrating in Wickenburg, Arizona, Henry Wickenburg's 200th birthday, other than ranch houses? So when I want to talk architecture, particularly if I want to talk the historical origins of architecture or anything about the history of Arizona, I reach out to my good friend and architect, Mr. Don Ryden. Don, thanks for joining us here this morning.
It is indeed my pleasure to be here. Oh, what a gorgeous day.
Well, where else could you go other than Wickenburg to see, you know, the iconic Western ranch house? And what I want to start with you first on is we did a series back in the bicentennial year where we talked about the history of all types of architecture. What started ranch?
Early settlement by Spanish colonists, and then later on, of course, the American push out west. All of those people had their own version of rural construction using the materials that they had at hand, because there were no railroads, there were no trucks, there were barely wagon roads.
Right.
So they had to build their homes and ranches out of the materials at hand. And so you have buildings of adobe, of sawed lumber, and bricks and stones. So it's all very vernacular. That is, made by the people themselves. There were no designers. It was traditional shapes that worked with the environment for shade, for catching rain, for shedding rain, keeping people cool or keeping people warm.
And I love the practical side of the evolution of the architecture, because if you're an early settler, you've got your choice of lots, right?
On your 40 acres?
Yeah, right. Wherever you opt to homestead, you're probably going to do that around a water source if you're in the Southwest. So once I find a reliable water source, I start looking for the right siting for the home. Everything that they learned as far as orientation of doors and windows to capture prevailing breezes, take care of the temperature differential between night and day, and create the shade necessary to keep the sun off the exterior walls. That just infatuates me.
Yeah, it's amazing. They were just very practical people. And in our own modern times with new technology and so forth, so much of that practicality and sustainability and resilience has been swept to the wayside just for the sake of profiting from perhaps mass production housing.
Yeah, we power past all those practical solutions that were a part of the evolution of this type of home.
If you can put an air conditioner or an evaporative cooler and a thermostat on the wall, you don't really have to worry about shading the windows or creating big, deep porches.
So the ranch house dates back to as early as European occupation of the Southwest.
Oh, yes.
Okay. But when did builders and architects turn it in from a ranch house to a ranch style?
Ah, that's kind of an interesting story. The real origins of our ranch style houses began in the depths of the Depression, when actually a competition was held by a national magazine, and it called on architects to come up with a new design of a respectable, comfortable, and affordable home that would be a new way of thinking of living that swept aside all of the ornamentation and, I suppose, cultural baggage of the bungalow of the 1910s and of the period revival houses of the 1920s, things like Tudor Revival and Mission and Spanish Colonial and things like that. So all of this European influence, they swept aside. And so a man, an architect called Cliff May, answered that call and developed this simple ranch style based upon historic ranch houses.
Okay.
So.
And he's California based, right?
Yes, right.
Like Northern California.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, okay.
And so he used the simplicity of vernacular ranch architecture to come up with the concept for simplistic homes for mass housing in the Depression. And then it all just took off with mass production after World War II, with the development of new modern materials and methods by which to have assembly line construction.
Well, so what does it have to be a ranch house? And then you can tack all kind of things on the face of it and turn it into, how many different ranch styles are there?
Well, it began with what you would call an early ranch or transitional ranch, which almost looked like the old pioneer type things, just totally devoid of ornamentation. But after the war, in order to market the product of mass-produced housing, the subdivision developers would give you 2, 3, 4 floor plans.
Sure.
And each floor plan would have a different facade treatment on it.
Right.
And so, oddly enough, they hearkened back to the older period revivals. So you could get American Colonial Ranch. You could have different ornamentation on it that made it Spanish Colonial. It could even be, English or whatever. Oh, my favorite?
Yes.
My favorite is a Japo-Swiss split-level ranch house.
I sent some sarcasm in that.
Oh, no, it's not sarcasm. It's just a total amusement and bemusement of how the marketeers and the designers and the developers took the simple ranch house concept and morphed it into all of these other variations. It's not bad. It's not good. It's just really amazing how the evolution of the simple, rather humble ranch house developed into something completely different.
Wow. So if, I mean, the things I like about ranch, I mean, what's identified as ranch inside my brain.
Yes.
It's a masonry home. It's low ceilings, low pitch roof, big overhangs, big patios. It's all the things that I love about a home because it tends to be extremely low maintenance and extremely easy living. The only thing I would do different from the ranches of the early 40s and 50s is I would make them much more open floor plan and not little cubicle rooms down the hall.
Exactly. And yeah, you get that a lot with the double-loaded hallway.
Yes.
With the bedroom on either side. Yeah, exactly. But what's really interesting about the boxiness of the larger early ranch houses, especially the California ranch houses of the late 60s, those really were kind of called rambling ranch houses. And you've seen the floor plans where you might have a major, just a rectangular base in the middle, and then you have all these bent angles and wings on the house. Well, all that is really from Cliff May's idea of what exactly happened at the old historic ranch houses, where as a family grew, they would infill between all of these buildings scattered along the hillside at different angles.
The barn became the...
The barn was the new living room.
Yeah.
And the tack house and the bunk house is where the kids' wing was. And so the idea was to hook them all together to make a big family house. So that's where the floor plan came from for rambling ranch houses of the 60s.
Talking ranch houses from Wickenburg, Arizona, with my good friend, architect Don Ryden. Y'all, don't go anywhere. We're going to come back and talk quite a bit more about this same subject. And why? I want to know why. What moved the garage from the back of the house to the front of the house? We'll find out when we get back with Don.
Sanderson Ford and Sanderson Lincoln invite you and your family to stuff the sleigh for Operation Santa Claus. Toys, clothing, non-perishable food items, and monetary donations for Operation Santa Claus will be accepted at all Valley Walmart stores from now until 2 p.m. today. Plus, all month long, Sanderson Ford is giving thanks to customers and employees. Thank you to all branches of our military and first responders who put their lives on the line every day to protect and serve. Show your support for law enforcement. Sanderson Ford is changing the Black Friday sale event into the Blue Friday sales event with the purchase of any new Ford or lease. Every customer gets a free Ring doorbell. Now until 2 p.m., bring your toys, clothing, non-perishable food items, and monetary donations for Operation Santa Claus to all Valley stores. And when you're ready for your new car buying experience, Sanderson Ford.